It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for joining me today on the Amber May Show, and we're continuing with our series on God stories. And joining me today is Pastor Gus Korkosellos. How did your mom first find the Lord?
My mom actually, gave her heart to the Lord through another Greek lady here in Arizona as a byproduct of the pastor from California coming here. And my pastor that I'm ordained under, just a great man of God, Pastor Panos. He had gotten a hold of him about, hey, there's some Greek people that are interested as far as hearing the word of God. And he started coming down and just sharing the word and having these Bible studies, and people were getting saved. So a Greek lady that was saved, ended up ministering to my mom, and my mom got saved. And so this wildfire started to happen. Amen. Then my dad got saved. And in the process of it, you know, people in the community were talking. They were saying, oh, you guys are heretics, and you're this, and you're that. But my mom stood, and little by little, my aunts, my uncle, my cousins, you know, one by one, everyone started getting saved.
And I met one of your cousins.
And they're all in the church now. They're all in the church. You know, they're on the worship team. My one cousin is over the children's ministry, and my uncle is an usher at the church, you know. So they're all, and then my sister gets saved. And so this is all happening in a 10-year period. Everyone's getting saved, but my mom stood. And, you know, I want to encourage somebody who might be listening right now that if you have family members that aren't saved and don't know Jesus, the Bible says you and your family shall be saved. God is in the family business. When God gets a hold of one and that one stands, grace and mercy extends to the rest of them. That's what happened with my mom. My mom stood and was not moved. And she prayed and prayed. And little by little, one by one, started coming into a relationship with Jesus. And then finally, the one that was the worst one, the one that most people were looking at. And they did. I mean, most people, and even in the community, were like, oh, he's never going to mount enough. People look down on me. I know that. And because of my behavior.
Which probably didn't help you cut out of that behavior.
No.
It probably pushed you even further, right?
Absolutely. No one came along to encourage me, or there's a better way, and why don't you, you know, have you thought about your future, you know? No one did anything like that. And in 1994, I came to my senses, called upon the name of the Lord. So what's interesting is the last one in the family is the one that get the one that becomes the pastor of the church.
That's amazing.
Isn't that the Lord? So, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll share it at the church, you know, with families and parents. They'll say, oh, my son, you know, and this and that. And I go, listen, I was the worst one, and I ended up being the senior pastor. So what you're looking at right now, don't let the enemy come and steal, kill, and destroy your joy and your peace right now, because, right now, I was the worst and most hopeless, and I'm the one that's leading the church now.
And let me tell people about you a little bit, because they don't get to see you like I get to see you right now, and maybe they haven't visited your church, but you, I can tell, love God so much that the love of God pours out of your pores. When I was at your church and I saw all these kids coming to you, and all these people get drawn when they feel the Holy Spirit loving them. And people might not recognize it as God or the Holy Spirit, but it draws people to Jesus, and he uses us. And when I was seeing you that night I visited your church, I couldn't tell you how much of this attraction that you were just putting out there. It's hard to explain, because the way I could only describe it was just the love of God poured out of every pore in your body. You are not the type of pastor that sits high and mighty and makes people go through one particular person to make appointments to come see you, and you can only see people on Mondays at this time. When you're in your church, you welcome anyone to come up to you. And I saw these little kids coming up to you that night and just couldn't wait to talk to you, and you were just loving on them, and that's the type of thing that draws people to Christ.
Amen.
It's just that love and overpouring. So here you're coming from a place of a partying lifestyle where no one thought you're going to amount to anything, to where you're being used so much, and maybe you can't see it because you're you, where other people can see it. And when you're preaching, you're just trying to convey to these people how much God loves them because of how much you've been loved by him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Well, absolutely. The thing that fuels, you know, well, gets me out of bed every single day is God's amazing grace in my life, and just, you know, that here I am. And I always say this, you know, I am truly, in the Bible it says, you know, God uses the foolish things. I am that foolish thing that God saved, washed, cleansed, turned my life around, and then gives me a platform to preach his word and to represent him. I mean, not just like in a church, but by, you know, through the television. And I mean,
the prisons. Now I mean, the radio.
I mean, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. And when I think of what God has done and what he's brought me out of and through, and then trusting me with his word and with the people, that messes me up. So when I think of where I was and where I'm at now, and the people around me too, the people that have been so good and have prayed for me, you know, after I gotten saved, because I am a byproduct of a lot of good people around me that have prayed for me and encouraged me, you know, I would say that your friendships are prophecy of your future. And truly, you know, a lot of great people around me that have helped me get to where I'm at. So when I walk into church, you know, and I see those children, or I see that person over here, or I see that person over there, I think of myself, that was me, you know, so many years ago, where if I would have walked into church, you know, that would have been me. So when I look at that person, I think to myself, you know, how would I want to be received, or what would I expect to hear or from that person at that, you know? So at that point, it hits me every single time where it's like, you know what? I mean, you know, it's a hug. It's a word of encouragement. It's an amazing thing what a word or a hug and a word of encouragement can do for somebody.
Absolutely.
You know?
Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Proverbs 18:21. Yes.
It's huge, because you kept getting put down your whole life. You're not going to amount to anything. You're worthless, or this or that. You're going to live up to that.
I was the kid growing up where it's like, you know, I will never be able to have this or that. That was for somebody else. That's for another family. I had a great family that, you know, my mom and dad loved me, no doubt about it. You know, love me, continue to love me. Praise God. They're great. Amen. But, you know, we didn't have lots of money and finances, you know, there's been stretches in the beginning, especially in high school, where, you know, where my dad, he was, you know, was mopping floors at, you know, in Smitty's just to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and here's a man that doesn't even, you know, that, you know, as far as his background and his language, I mean, and just did whatever he had to do, cutting grass, doing lawns, mopping floors. So I was that kid that, you know, had the pants that were short.
Yeah. The high waters.
Yeah. That was me. So growing up, you know, and then, of course, the party scene afterwards.
Which,
you know,
gave you an inferiority complex, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay.
So you're trying to fit in.
I preach the message that God is for the underdog, and you're trying to fit in, and you just can't fit in.
Right.
But when I said yes to Jesus, that's when we go from being the underdog to being the favorite, because now greatness enters in. So I see what God has done in my life, and that, you know what? And I want to spread that. I want to encourage somebody to not give up, because I know what God has done in my life. And mm-hmm. if he did it with me, he'll do it with anybody. And that's what hits me every service. That's what hits me every time that we have, you know, again, like you just said, as far as service, I mean, now sometimes, you know, because of the amount of people, it is a little difficult to get out there, but my heart is to be out with the people.
I can totally tell.
Be around, because I want to be able to reach as many people, not just from behind the pulpit, but also, you know, personally with a handshake or that word. Because even when I first got saved, I remember, this is a good story, a youth pastor in California from the church that I was ordained under with my pastor in California. And when I first got saved, I went out to California a few times, and I stayed for a couple weekends. They had a gathering at a house, and, you know, from the church, and I was staying at that house for the weekend. And I went outside, and I was smoking back then. And I went outside, and, you know, God was working on me, you know. But, you know, I wasn't thinking like, oh, smoking's bad. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to church now, and God's doing, you know, a lot of things are changing. So I went outside, you know, to have a quick cigarette. And he came out there, and he started to just talk to me. And he never mentioned anything about the cigarette. You know, I was like, oh, you know, that's bad. Or it's like he never even brought that up. His whole focus was, he started to speak life into me. And he didn't speak where I was still at, but he was speaking of where God wanted to take me. He goes, you know, when I look at you, Gus, I see greatness in you. I see you preaching the gospel around the world. I see you impacting life. I mean, he just went off. And I'm thinking, who are you talking to, you know? And I'm smoking my cigarette, you know, out there, you know, and I had just recently gotten saved, and it's wonderful. I mean, I'm hungry for more. I mean, I want more of God. I mean, I know this is real now. But then this guy comes along, and he's saying, God, you know, I was called to be a preacher at that time, yeah? And he's saying all these things. But, you know, a crazy thing happened. All those words that he spoke in that backyard, and remember, he didn't speak of like my smoking or anything else or all the things that I was still doing, but he started to build me up and spoke and decreed and declared where God wanted to take me. And you know what? I was crazy enough to believe it when I walked away. And it was just, what, 10 minutes. And here's this guy just talking. His name is Ted, actually. And here I am years later. And you know what? I have preached around the world, Indonesia, India, Greece, you know, through television and just, you know, and then the church itself in the inner city of Phoenix and what God's doing. And I look back at that point, at that moment. So I think of where I was and where I started. So here I am today. And when I'm in the church, I'm thinking, you know what? I see the people, I see the young people or that man that's coming in or that person that's coming in and that's going through some things. And I think that was me.
Did that make you want to stop smoking that night or was that still in the process?
No, that was still in the process. And you know what happened was little by little, you know, as God was starting to clarify that I was called to preach, the conviction of God was, you know, all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know what? And you hear things like, you know, this is the temple of God and, you know, and so forth and so on. And my pastor would always say, and he never said anything about smoking, but he always say, if God ever, you know, wanted, this is what he used to say in California, he goes, if God wanted us to smoke, you know, he would put a chimney on top of our heads, you know, but we don't have chimneys in our heads. So, you know, God wants us, you know, so, cause he used to be a smoker too. And he used to be a gambler too. My pastor, it's hilarious. And, but he never even said anything about the smoking, but he would give me little stories. He would just insert here and there. And then all of a sudden, there was a time that I don't know how many months into this, but where we were having Bible studies, I was given the opportunity to start to share my testimony in places, and I start to see clearly that I was called to the ministry and to preach, and God spoke to me. I was in the backyard of the house. We had just finished a Bible study, and I was leading this Bible study. Now, our Bible studies were 40, 50 people, you know, because it was at my parents' house, and miracles were happening because my parents were there ministering, and you've been to the church, and things just were happening. People were being, people were being healed, delivered. I mean, things, you know, I shouldn't even call it a Bible study. It was just, you know, just every week was something different was happening. But I was kind of leading it at that time, you know, little by little. And after we'd finish, I'd go out in the back when everyone was gone. And I wasn't trying to hide that I was smoking, but I wouldn't just light up in front of anybody also, you know. So I go in the backyard and I'm like, you know, I'm all fired up, you know, with what God has done, you know, that, you know, what the Lord had done that night. And I'd light up and start smoking. And but there was a point where he spoke to me and he goes, I've called you to the nations. If you want to continue to smoke, I can't take you to the nations. I can only use you to a Bible study level. But if you want to go to the nations and that's where I've called you to go, I can deliver you from this.
That's powerful.
And the reason why I didn't quit was I still liked it deep down inside. And that was the bottom line. And God says, listen, if I can save you, is my arm too short that I can't deliver you from this? No, and I knew that. And God was saying, I can't have you. I can't put you on a platform around the world preaching salvation and then people being in bondage and you preaching deliverance and still smoking because it contradicts the message.
Yeah, it could be a stumbling block for somebody.
Bible study level, you know, few people, you know, people. But when you start to put, when you start to speak in front of, you know, hundreds and thousands, and word gets around that, hey, you know, he's preaching deliverance. Now, why is he smoking?
Exactly.
Now, other people closer to you within a Bible study understand where you were and, you know, that you just, just gotten saved and it's about a couple years
but
into
these
this
other
thing.
People wouldn't.
No, on TV, you know, word gets out and it's like, okay, you're talking about, you know, that God can deliver me from drugs and God can deliver me from this. Well, then word's gotten back that, you know, why are you still smoking?